This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Professor H.J. Mackinder, International Relations, to comment on a report, not confirmed, about the Chinese electricity crisis these last days. A very good evening to you, Professor. The Chinese suddenly making demands of their electricity grid that is coming to nothing. Rolling blackouts, we're told, not only in the manufacturing centers of 10 provinces, but now in the residential centers of the northeast of the country, very heavily populated. Chinese television is showing spans of areas that are dark at night. No street lights, no attention for security, no detail. We hear stories of stuck elevators. In other words, a national emergency. The report, not confirmed, is that Xi Jinping, his presidential apparatus, he's the general secretary of the Chinese Communist Party, but for reasons of this report, we're going to call him president, made communication with the Kremlin, speaking directly to Vladimir Putin and his apparatus, asking for assistance, asking for energy help, perhaps a transfer of electricity, perhaps coal, perhaps natural gas, perhaps oil. Russia has them all in abundance in the eastern part of the country. Is this a good thing? Is this credible? Is it now that China, the all-powerful state rising superpower, is now dependent upon the Kremlin, which is a compromised political power? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. I think the answer is that, yes, this is a very good thing. I should have said before that, yes, this is credible. It said that North Koreans on the border now look across the Dandong River and they see that China is completely blacked out. And they say, boy, if it's worse than Korea, they're really in trouble. But it is. What you said is not extensive enough. Basically, three quarters of the country is without electricity. Major cities are completely blacked out. This is unprecedented. Now, why is this a good reason? Because China has been very irresponsible in her policies toward the rest of the world. Very, very provocative, aggressive, for instance, against the Philippines, against Japan, even against Malaysia. There is widespread fear in Asia of a Chinese superpower that tries to claim everything, and China has to be reined in. Now, the Quad that has been created and this new relationship between Australia, the United States, and the United Kingdom are enormous steps in this direction. But the fact that Mr. Xi now has to turn to Russia is a sign that he can't sustain this allegedly menacing, booming country. He can't keep it going without Russian help. And that's pretty pathetic when you consider some of the rhetoric that we heard a while ago. Xi, having no allies, has tried to make Russia an ally, but the Russians are very hard to get and disagree with Xi on many issues. The Russians in particular do not want any conflict with the United States. China is constantly stirring up trouble with American allies in East Asia, which could lead conceivably to conflict with the United States. In that case, Russia would not be like to be in the position of being asked by China to help. Perhaps it's all summed up by an anecdote I just heard on Chinese radio, which is that Xi is now trying to portray himself as like a childhood buddy of Putin, and that they just get along so well. And the commentator said, think of Putin. Putin races racing cars. Putin can fly an airplane. Putin is in very good shape. He takes off his shirt at the slightest reason. She can't even drive an automobile, and he is he's very, very chubby. This idea is ridiculous, and it's not going to sell. And what it indicates is that China is overstretched, and as a result of being overstretched, she's trying to push herself into the arms of Russia. But Putin is much too smart to do more than serves Russia's interests.
The puzzle about Russia right now, it is the heartland, it is the pivot nation. Russia has heretofore been regarded as a shadow of the Soviet Union, without resources, without development, and a population that is either shrinking or not growing, depending upon the demographics. The virus has hit it very badly. However, that now switches if China becomes dependent upon Russia for energy source. That strikes me as new, as something bizarre. Is it?
Well, the Chinese, you will remember the Russians were building a pipeline for oil that was going to serve Japan exclusively. And the Chinese raised such hell that they put a branch line going into China. The fact is that China is completely dependent on foreign sources for every energy source except for coal, which she has in great abundance, but which is frowned upon because of the CO2 that it gives off. I have always been very skeptical of the story that says that Russia is somehow a shadow of the Soviet Union. I first went to the Soviet Union in 1966, and I've been back roughly every 5 years since then. And I would say that Russia is now in better shape than she has ever been before. And I don't have much admiration for Putin as a leader or as an economist, but in spite of all of that, Russia is slowly getting her act together, and it's very difficult when you leave communism. I would give as an example the remarkable resurgence in Russian high technology and military.
About Russia westward regarding, looking towards Europe, the German election shows that Russia has authority in Berlin. There will be an arrangement in some fashion that Berlin and Moscow will continue their dialogue because of Nord Stream 2 and other parts of their commerce. Does the fact that China is now not dependent upon Russia, but depending on Russia, and Berlin is depending upon Russia, does this augur well for the century that Russia becomes the interlocutor of these competing environments?
I think that it does augur well with one proviso, which is simply that we have subsequent Russian leaders who are at least as intelligent and responsible as Putin, which is a fairly low bar. I expect that Russia, when Putin goes, is going to remember Russia has a constitutional structure. They have institutions. Putin cheats. He uses criminal means to circumvent it, but the structure actually exists, and it could be put into use, and in fact, it is to some extent in use now. So I think the problem we have is nostalgia for the Soviet Union among members of the American elite in the academy and Russia, in Russian studies and so forth. To me, this is mythological. This is a myth. I think we felt the real nostalgia when we saw the czar, the pretender czar, but the legitimate Romanov heir, get married at St. Isaac's Cathedral just a few days ago to an Italian lady who has taken a Russian name. They're both very well educated. They're very international. And they are going to be, they're an indication that, as they put it, the sort of more attractive side of Russia is going to start to be seen.
Professor H.J. Mackinder, international relations, commenting on a report, not confirmed, that China looks to Russia for help in its energy crisis. This is Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor.